bless each and every one tonight. We do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, and we want to read verse 31 to 34, and I won't keep you long tonight. The Lord bless those that came. Praise God. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And I want us to turn to Hebrews 7, but I'm taking a text from this scripture in Jeremiah. Their sins I'll remember no more. But Hebrews 8, verse 7 to 12 as well, I want to read. In Hebrews 8, verse 7, For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We're glad this evening for the forgetfulness of God. That thy sins and iniquities, you said, I will remember no more. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb tonight. And we thank you for this another opportunity to hear the gospel and to hear your word. Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. Lord, we might be many tonight, but you promised for two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou art in the midst and not to bless us. Bless thy people this evening and have thy way, I pray. As I take the promised Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The forgetfulness of God. You know, the devil wants to remind you of your failures, of your sins, and of your past. But God never remembers it. He forgets it. Not only does God forget it, but he takes it out of the way. He blots it out with a great blotting. I was reading the day and studying, and in the old ink writing, there was a way he blotted it out with ink covered it. And God blots it out, and there's even a scripture talks about God blotting it out. He removes it, and he takes it away. And you see, because our sins are removed and our sins are taken away, we are in a standing with God and we have confidence with God that when we pray, he hears us and he answers us. A new covenant, he says here, and we've read here from Jeremiah, and we've read again from Hebrews, that the old covenant was not faultless. But there was one coming that was. The old covenant was only temporal. The old covenant was only a type of something superior and far greater was coming. And that what was coming was Calvary. Amen. when the new covenant was made by the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son on the cross. And this covenant was faultless. This covenant was superior because it didn't cover sin. It took sin away. Under the old covenant, sin was covered. They had to continually have a remembrance of it every year. The priest offered for himself, then for the people. But the Bible says that this man, having offered up once for all, has forever sat down at the right hand of God, having finished the work, no more to be offered again. So thank God tonight, to her tonight, as we're coming in, that the Pope has given out new indulgences. And you can buy your way now for a weekend to live in sin. You see, old Papa. Well, I can tell you, he's not my Papa. He's an Antichrist. And there's a day of judgment coming for him, but he's at his work again. I found a great wee book just at the start of the week. Pope and the Reformation. That's the title of it. Isn't it some title? Reading it at the minute is great. You see, Ireland here, Ulster here, is one of the last strongholds of the Reformation. And the old Pope, head Pope, wants you and me to think, and he wants everybody to think that the Reformation, the effects of it now, is all finished and done away with. But I'm preaching here tonight, and you're here tonight because of the effects of it. Amen. That's why we're here. And we thank God for the Reformation, and for men of God, and women of God, that took a stand and were murdered and killed and sawn asunder so that we could have the freedom of the gospel of Christ. God's forgetfulness. Aren't you glad for God's forgetfulness? Aren't you glad that it don't bring us into a wee box in the corner here and hear all your wicked sins and then tell us to say 10 Hail Marys and count your rosary beads and all of the But thank God there's only one place I'll point you to, and any man tell us, to the bleeding sacrifice of Calvary, to the Lamb of God, which washes me and cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Now just want to read your scriptures tonight, just to rehearse, tell you. Put you in remembrance again to know you are forgiven. For the devil will do his best to tell you or not. That's his job. But my job is, as a pastor and a preacher, to remind the people of God that their sins are gone and gone to stay. Praise God. Matthew 26 verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And that word remission means dismissal. God has dismissed your sins. They're gone. Once you come to Jesus Christ, they're gone, and they're gone to stay. They're dismissed. You're divorced from them. No longer tied with them. They're legally no longer can be sentenced according to them. Do you know that? That's what it means. They don't have no sway over you no more. They're gone. Thank God they're gone. Colossians 2 and 14 tells us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that was the law, that none of us could keep, that every man broke, that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Remission. Now let me read you this, which is shed for many, the remission of sins, in order that sins may be remitted or forgiven, that is, this is the appointed way by which God will pardon transgressions. That the blood is efficacious for the pardon of sins. Only the blood. Only the blood is efficacious. That means effective. Only the blood. And it doesn't matter if the Pope was a holy man. And I don't believe he is, by the way. I believe he's a stinking man. And I make no apologies for saying that. He's filthy. Filthy and unclean. For he's sending thousands to hell with what he's teaching. And so is his priest practice priestcraft.
Yes.
But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen.
Isn't it sad tonight? For the Roman Catholic didn't know. Some testimony I told you about this morning, wasn't it? That a man that was making bombs, his hands was blew off. And he had no hands, and they gave him two hooks. And a policeman who was booby-trapped ended up in the same church. And the policeman couldn't believe it when Michael was the guest speaker. A provisional IRA bomb maker was the preacher that night. God saved them and delivered them. That's a testimony, isn't it? God's able to do it. You see, we can limit God. And you know, by the way, like maybe the Lord just couldn't do that, but God did and can do it. Praise God. That's the power of the blood. That's the potency of the blood. Amen. Show me a religion can do that. You can't. For an organization, you can't. Amen. You say the AAN, you could name other ones. Yes, but many of them go back. But when you're born again, you're going forward. Not back. Because of the life of Jesus, the blood being used by the sacred writers as representative, representing life itself. And you know Leviticus tells us, or as containing the sacred writer as representing life itself. Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 17:14. You know the Bible tells us the life is in the blood. That's why we're forbidden to drink blood. Because the life's in the blood. And the Bible actually tells you not to drink blood. You know that? People say, well, I could drink blood. Well, the Bible tells you not to do it. Because it represents life. Amen. See, this is why, you see, it disturbs me when I hear people saying, you know, they downbeat the chemistry of the blood. Yes. And they say, like, it's not about chemistry. And then they give you a great palaver of an intelligent lecture. That's all well and good, but the simple Bible tells it is blood. And Spurgeon says, if a man doesn't preach the blood, how often do you go to hear him? He said, never. That's what Spurgeon said. And Spurgeon's well known throughout the world as a prince of preachers.
And I thank God for the blood. The life's in the blood. And you see, this blood of Jesus, and I've preached it many times, is so superior to any other blood because it's God's blood.
And there's life in the blood of God like no other life. And when the bloodshed was broke on the cross, the life of God was released back to the true believer, and the life that's in the blood is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says the Spirit answers to the blood. Aren't you glad for that?
Praise God for it, for the power of the blood. Life in the blood.
I tell you, think of the life of Jesus. There's no life like his life. The strength that's in the blood of Jesus is like no other strength.
The potency that's in the blood of Jesus is like no other potency. I know we know these things. But you'd be surprised how many Christians can't pray the way they should for their condemned.
Because some wee devil's been sent. And yes, sank the whisper on their shoulder. And tell them, well, you did this, you did that. And God wouldn't hear you. Send the devil flying. Tell him you've been washing the blood. And if you have done wrong, confess it to Jesus Christ. He's your high priest.
Confess it to him. And the Bible says that we have committed sins and we confess them. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We have an advocate with Jesus Christ
through the throne of God, and he hears and answers us tonight. Praise God. Forbidden to eat it because it was combined the life, or with the life of the animal. When therefore Jesus said that his blood was shed for many, it is the same as saying that his life was given for many. Romans 3:25 tells you the life of Jesus was given for many. The man that had no sin, the man that knew no sin, became sin. Look up Romans 3:25. There, just now read it. Whom hath God sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins,
In this country here today, you don't stand up for nothing and say, oh, you're not a Christian. You believe the Bible. You'll shove the Bible down your throat. And we have rights. Rights for this and rights for that. What modern is in the just Laodicea we're in. People say we're not in Laodicea. Well, where are we? I see it around me all the time. Laodicea. I'll do what I want. I won't keep God's law. I won't keep no law. That's the age we're in. Disobedient to parents, truth-breakers, heady, high-minded, impotent, lovers of pleasures more than God. That's today. I tell you, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and you know, me and him was just talking about when we were at school. And he says, boy, when he was at school, he says, the master, he gave him a quick rock over the knuckles, and he took a belt on his backside, and he says, when he got home, you know, he looked in the mirror, and he says, boy, he had some welts on him. And he says, he got out of school and he cried. And I says, Tommy, you know, it was tough stuff. And you call him Tommy as well. I said, it was tough stuff, but you see now, look at it. And he says, you're right. He says, my daughter's a school teacher. And he says, you don't have no idea what she's to listen to. They call her everything in the class and there's no power over them. Because you don't say a word on the telephone. My daddy smacked me. Come and arrest them. That's the age we're in. We've lost control. You realize this age has lost control. This is Satan's age. And I tell you, God's going to judge this generation. And if he doesn't, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's the age we're in. They don't want God.
Paul the Apostle tells us, not only do they not want God, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge or in their thinking. And you think of it, a fellow in a bakery, they can tell him who he'll bake for and what he'll put on a cake in his own shop. And if it doesn't please him, too bad. Do you ever think you'd see a day like it when you're living in it? You're living in an age where people threw their hands up and rejoiced over legalized murder. And don't be surprised at the two women that done it, for they were murderers long before that. And they never changed. Cain's line would sum them up. You say Cain, the Bible talks about it. Not as Cain who was off that wicked one, and wherefore slew he his brother, because his deeds were righteous and his were evil.
And I heard that big man's testimony. Said the people who screwed them in that area where he worked.
But one day he went in to search out a house and there was a bomb left for him and it blew him to pieces. And I tell you, you wouldn't leave it for a dog, sure you wouldn't. No. And when his friends came to see him, they didn't recognize him. He was so badly injured. But thank God he got saved. Amen.
And it was only God moved in that area to save him. Only God could do it. The same God that moved on the two thieves. One of them was saved and one of them was lost.
That's God's election. That's God's choosing. That's not down to the pastor or any other preacher. That's down to God's choosing. That's called the election. By the foreknowledge of God the Father from the foundation of the world.
Whom he did foreknow, they we also did predestinate to become the sons of God.
Just like I told you the other week, even though Noah was preaching to them lost, he had to preach on.
Amen.
He had to do his job.
And it was God that would finally decide, not Noah. Noah did his part. And we must continue on,
even in this evil day, and believe for salvation. And believe for people to get saved.
His life was given for sinners and he died in the place of sinners as a substitute by his death on the cross. The death or the punishment due to them in hell may be removed and their souls be saved. He endured so much suffering, bore so much agony that God was pleased to accept it in the place of the eternal torments of all the redeemed. The interests of justice, the horror and the stability of his government would be secure in saving them in this manner as if suffering were inflicted on them personally in hell. God, by giving His Son to die for sinners, has shown His infinite abhorrence of sin, since according to His view, and therefore according to the truth, nothing else would show its evil nature but the awful sufferings of His Son, that He died in the stead or in the place of sinners, abundantly clear from following all these scriptures. You can see Christ suffered for me and you. We could never be saved without it. I wouldn't care if the Pope gave them 10 rosary beads a day. And they can give them all the indulgences to the cows come home, but they're still lost. Without Jesus Christ, man's lost. Without Jesus Christ, man's away from God, separate from God. But thank God for Christ. And I'll tell you, God can save the Catholic just the same as He can save the Protestant. All souls are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Look at this word, blotting out. That means, you know, like, how many remember the old fountain pen? And you made a mistake whereby you just ruined your work. How many remember that? I remember at school in the wee ink cartridge. How many ever remembers that? You remember, Neil, don't you? Remember it all over my hands, and then bursting, and your hands were plastered. When you just think of it, you wrote a nice wee line, though my writing wasn't never too good. But you wrote a nice wee line, and that cartridge burst it, and it just spoiled it all, it just covered it. And I tell you, Jesus' blood just covered all our sin and removed it. Took it away. Thank God He took it away. Not a verse can be read against us. Nothing. I don't care what logs are hanging in or what books it's recorded in. The Bible tells me the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood. Blotting out. Look, the Greek word means wiped out. That's what the Greek word means here in the Bible. Wiped out. Your sins are gone. When you kneel to pray, brother, and you kneel to pray, sister, your sins are gone. The Lord will hear you. For your sins are gone. And I want you to just think of this here for a moment tonight, when we weren't saved, and we were away from God, and we were in sin, in deep sin, God still heard us. When we came from a sincere heart, the Lord still heard us and saved us. Thank God for it. Coincident in time with having forgiven you. Colossians 2:13. Hereby having cancelled the law's indictment against you. The law, including especially the moral law, wherein lay the chief difficulty in obeying, is obliterated to the believer as far as it was compulsory, accusing code. And as far as unrighteousness, justification, and life were sought for by it, it can only produce outward works and inward obedience of the will, which in the believer flows from the Holy Spirit in him. Romans 3:21, Romans 7:2, Romans 7:4, Galatians 2:19. All these scriptures prove it. Let me take a minute and read you these scriptures. It's only a quarter till. Let me read you some. Go with me to Romans. Romans 3:21. I know I've preached through all the book of Romans, but the book of Romans is some book. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God's manifested. Now the righteousness of God here is not manifested because of the law, but it's manifested because of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law. We often say no man could keep the law. Christ did. He fulfilled it. And you remember there was no law to find. Moses came. And Moses, the law came in Moses' time. The people wanted a law to govern them. And you know, when Moses went and got the Ten Commandments up in the mountain before he reached the people, that broke them. And he smashed the first tablets God made him. And God gave him another set. We know that. But aren't you glad we're not working with tablets tonight of law? But we're working with the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses from all sin.
2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And you're divorced from the old law. This is what it means. You're divorced from it. It's no control over you. You're under the new covenant tonight. This is why he's talking about the husband and wife. Just like a woman that's a widow, she can marry whoever she wants again in Christ. In Christ, by the way. Or the man that's a widow, he can marry again in Christ. That's what it means. They're divorced. They're put away. Separated from. And we're separated from it. The handwriting is ordinance. Colossians tells us we're separated from it. We're under Christ. We're not under the law. And that doesn't give us a license to live like the devil. Because of the Holy Spirit in us, we wouldn't do that. Sure we wouldn't. But nevertheless, we're saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Verse 4, Romans 7, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So we're not married to the law, we're married to Jesus Christ. Aren't they glad you're married to somebody better? Somebody said, I'm not married yet. Well, the Bible says here you should be. Spiritually speaking, you know what it means now. We're still waiting on the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I know all that. But the Bible says here we're married to Christ. Yeah. You say, but where's the other scriptures for it? There's loads of them. Paul says, I have espoused you to one husband. Yes. Christ. Not some organization that. You could be married to an organization. You would have to obey the organization. But what about when the organization leaves God's word? Then you have a problem, haven't you? It's no different than the old law.
That's right.
But far worse.
That's the truth.
It's a dead creed. You must be married to Christ. Yeah. And when you're married to Christ, you'll obey Christ. For the husband must obey the wife. No, that's not right. Sure, son. You're just testing yourself. The wife obeys the husband. Some of them women smiling. Saying, could you change it like that, brother? Husband obey your wives, obey your husbands. And what else does it say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for them. He done all he could for them. That's real love, isn't it? He'd do anything for you. Sure, you know that. You just look in his eyes and give it a twinkle or two and it's done. No, rightly. And when you get a wee girl or two about the house, it doesn't take them long to learn. I'll not be long till I'll be fit to get it a daddy. Not right. Oh, some of you boys have been all ahead of you. But it's true. Daddy's wee girl. Did you ever hear the saying, brother? I can tell you it's true. Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Sorry, Romans 7 and 4. We've read it. Galatians 2:19. Let's turn to Galatians 2:19. And I'm closing in a moment or two. I told you I won't keep you long tonight. I just want to remind you of these things that you're forgiven. Romans 2:19. The Pope can keep his indulgences. We start a chaplain. I'll tell you, indulgences. Well, where's he getting his indulgence from? Cover him. That's what I want to know. For my Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Aren't you glad you're living unto God? Praise God. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, he his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Revelations 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We don't need washed in nothing else. We're washed in his own blood. Thank God. Hebrews 8 and 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness,
And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's God's word. I'm glad for that. I believe we need to pray for, and I've said this before, but I believe it. We need to pray for Catholic people we know. I'm Protestant as well. Some religious Protestants, and they're blind. That God would save them. In God's mind, it was already done from the foundation of the world. Do you know that? God knew all this. Revelations 13 and 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." When you got saved, I know we say it, there's new name written in glory, but that's not really true, and always was there. You and me didn't know it, but God did. That's not really maybe wrong to sing it, in a sense you're rejoicing when you came. And maybe you see what I'm saying. But God already knew it. It always was there. He knew the day your Kearns would be saved, and he was saved from the foundation of the Word of God. He already knew it. He knew the day Tommy McKinstry would be saved. It was in the book. Remember I told you before about my wife's cousin's husband, Brian. And Brian's had heart attacks, and he's had big major operations. And he's been almost a goner a few times. And you know, first of all, his wife thought he's snoring. She needed to get a separate room. He's a powerful snorer. But it wasn't just snoring. His heart was stopping during the night. The man wasn't well. It was more than just snoring. And they realized they had to put stents in him and all sorts of stuff in him, but he died. He actually died. And he told me he went into the room. And he said, "Into this room and into this place where he went, there was a big book on the table." And he said to the man, he said, "Is my name in that book?" And the man said, "It is." And he said, "You would never have made it this far if it wasn't in it." And he said, "A voice from higher up said, 'It's not your time yet. You have to go back and look after your family yet.'" And he came back to life in the hospital table where he was. And he's still here today. He had another scare a while back, but he's still here, thank God. Had to have a major operation. But his name was in the book. Do you remember there was a man came here when Brother Dixon was here, and he told about having on a white garment, and he told Dixon that the white garment was took off him and he was lost in it. Man raised back from the dead. Dixon said, "Don't be saying that. That's a bad thing to say. That you were lost in the white garment. How could you lost the garment?" But you see, that fellow today is not living for the Lord. He's in an occult system. And away from God and the Word of God. So sometimes when you hear testimonies, you wonder at them. Well, you should. If it's an uncertain sound. And you hear books, and you hear, there's a wee woman give me a book one day of converted Roman Catholics, but sorry to say, when I read it, they weren't converted. They never come out of Rome. They held on to the rosary and all them things. When a man and woman truly born again in the Spirit of God, they're new creatures. New creatures. They won't want a substitute when you're the real thing. Sure you won't. They want the real thing. Matthew 1 and 21 tells us, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." John 1:29. "The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" God's appointed taker away of sin was Christ. Nobody else. And I'm going to finish in a moment, but I want to read you this quotation from a message called "Living, Dying, Buried, Rising and Coming Again." That's the reason he had to be punished the way he was, because all of our sins was placed upon him. And there he had to bear them away in his body to Calvary, a reproach, a disgrace, sinfully hanging there naked, stripped, bleeding. When he rolled his precious head around, his bloody locks dripping from his shoulders. I believe it. was Billy Graham said there was an angel sitting in every tree saying, just pull your hands loose from the cross and just motion your finger and we've changed the scene. The Jews paid him the greatest compliment could be paid. Not knowing what they were doing, they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Sure not. If he'd saved himself, he could not have saved others. But he gave himself that we might be saved. That's the story of the cross. And when I read you there, sins all of you say he was the sinner. No, but he took our sin. He became sin, the Bible says. He wasn't born a sinner. And he knew no sin. And he had no sin. But the same Bible says he became sin for us. In other words, all the sin of us was on him. And he paid the price at the cross of Calvary so that we could be free. And he says, forgiven and forgotten. Want you to remember that. You say, brother, we know that, but I believe this is for somebody tonight when you're praying. I want you to know when you kneel down to pray and the devil comes to you again, I want you to turn to what's been preached here tonight and tell him, I'm forgiven and it's forgotten. It's blotted out. It's gone. It's removed. I'm a free man and a free woman. Divorced from the old law. Married to Christ. Living by the righteousness, not of my own, of his. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now I'm closing. I told you I wouldn't keep you long tonight. That's been half an hour, believe it or not. I might be just over it. Let us come and let us pray tonight. I know you know these things. But it's good to be reminded. You know, I don't know about you, but I can tell you sometimes during the week you have a wee bottle or two. But man, he's like me. He wants to give a bit of trouble, man, again, doesn't he? Well, I'm telling you now, you need it. You know, I said it Wednesday night, I believe it happened in the meeting. I believe some brothers did roll their sleeves up and give them a couple of right hooks and it was brilliant, wasn't it? Great. And there was a breakthrough. That's a spiritual right hook. Somebody goes up and prays like that and floors them. It's great. He never wants you to do that. He wants you to keep you quiet. Doesn't want you never to say nothing or never pray. And he wants to tell you how the big failure are. And you're no good and you're not this and you're not, you know all about it. But God's word says tonight you're forgiven. Amen. God's word says tonight he's removed your sins away. It's not down to what you've done. It's down to what he's done. And what Christ's done, God accepted it and was pleased with it. And it never needs to be done again. That's the wonderful thing about it. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your precious words of promise. For the yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have this open avenue from the footstool into the very throne room of God because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb. And your Bible calls it the precious blood of the Lamb because it's a Lamb without blemish and a Lamb without spot. A Lamb that pleased God, a Lamb that satisfied God. A Lamb that became our propitiation so that we have a ghost man, one that stands between us and God and delivers us from hell and translates us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for this great salvation. We thank you tonight for this great forgiveness that has been blotted out. We're divorced from it. And we're clean and clear tonight because of the blood of Jesus. But Lord, how we would pray for our loved ones. How we would pray for friends and neighbors. That thou would reach them and save them and deliver them. That you would help us to be a witness everywhere we go. And help us to speak and testify and live a life worthy of the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Father, this evening I'm thinking of a young man that's given up with cancer. Young Catholic man, there's nothing they say they can do for him. Lord, I ask you for mercy for him. Ask you for grace for him. Ask God that the Holy Spirit will take it and work it upon him. And take it and deal it upon him. Lord, if you could save this man called Michael of Bonmaker, you could save anybody. Lord, didn't Paul the Apostle even
But you saved him and you made him a mighty preacher. He even held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. But you delivered him and sent him with a message of the gospel of Christ. Father, this evening, bless every head that's bowed in this room. Bless your people. And part us with thy blessing tonight and help us to witness for you and live for you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone, as our brother Gary comes. Don't forget a Wednesday night. On next Sunday morning, our brother John will be preaching. And just pray for all our meetings that the Lord will have his way. And God bless each one.
Let's sing of him, Jesus keeping here the cross, there are precious fountain, free for all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mouth.